Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights. This is Loudwire Nights on Demand. We got to hang out with Zoltan Bathory talking all about the 20th anniversary world tour of Five Finger Death Punch as well as their 10th studio album. This interview aired on Monday, June 22nd. Enjoy. Well, it's always a good time hanging with tonight's special guest, founding member of one of the biggest bands around, Five Finger Death Punch, is Zoltan Bathory. Man, thank you so much for joining us.
How you doing, brother?
It's always good to have you on the show. And, you know, last time we talked, you guys had just announced this massive 20th anniversary world tour, which we're getting closer to. It kicks off in July. You were talking about how you were hard at work on a new album, and that was kind of all we got, though. But here we are now, and we've got the new song, Eye of the Storm, and we're loving it. I got to imagine this is a good taste of what's to come.
Yeah, it is. That's how we picked it. You know, like, we had a couple of songs already done and vocally, and there were some heavier stuff, there was some lighter stuff, and we figured, like, well, this is kind of in the middle, right? And a pretty good indicator of what's going to come. If we gave you the heavier one first, then that's not really the real picture. If we gave you the lighter one, it wouldn't be really the real picture. So this is kind of the best, you know, this is the way you can gauge it the best. I would say that this is kind of the middle of the album.
Right on, man. Well, I love hearing that because this is a pretty heavy track, and I love it. It's a great, you know, we haven't had new music from Five Finger in a minute. So I feel like this is such a great, you know, return's not the right word because you guys haven't gone anywhere, but it's such a great, like, smack you in the face, get you ready for some new music.
I mean, look, interestingly, we're getting this, like, oh, Five Finger Death Punch is back. It's funny, well, we didn't go anywhere, but we actually, this is the longest period, but we didn't put out a record. Because every 2 years, that's why we are number 10, right? Number 10th record, because every 2 years, we would put out a record. So this is the longest period that we didn't put out a record. And I guess because the sound of it is a little bit closer to the earlier work, right? I think that's why people are like, oh, they're back. You know, it's a combination of, it's a little bit heavier, a little bit gruffer album, right? And we had a little bit of a time, not we had a time off, we never had a time off, but, you know, we didn't put out a record for 3 years. So basically that's what it is.
Well, and I know how much you love, you know, comments on social media. So I'm sure that's been a lot of fun.
That's my favorite. I don't care. It's like, you know what? Here's the thing. You need the freaking haters, man. You know what I mean? Like, you need them, right? They don't really realize how the algorithm works. Like, we're doing this interview. I just have to say something crazy, right? Yeah. And you're in the news. Just one line. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to drop one of those and everybody loses their shit. And it's like, oh, right? And then the algorithm pushes it up. Because here's the thing. The people who love your band, they don't really go online and comment about it.
Right.
Like, they go, oh, this is great. And they listen and that's it. It's usually people who don't. Those are the ones who are commenting, right? So they're actually driving the algorithm, right? And so now, if you say something crazy, right, and they start going, you're losing their freaking minds and they start arguing, what happens, the fans who are otherwise busy, maybe they have a job or things to do, right? I was like, oh, Five Finger's in the news. What's going on? Oh, they have a new record. Well, thank you for pushing that up there. You can argue all day. I'm good with it.
That's it, man. Well, I love that you said, you know, some fans have said, you know, like, you're back, because it does sort of sound like the earlier stuff. And you know, for me, it does draw me back to the heaviness of that first album. Like, when I hear Eye of the Storm, I'm like, all right, I get this. Do you feel that? Or is that just more kind of like, well, that's how I feel it? Or like when you made that song, did you kind of feel like, all right, this is kind of like the early days?
Yeah, I mean, the whole record is kind of like, it's a little bit of a different balance between the guitars and the drums. You know, there are variations there. It was a conscious that let's push this again a little bit, you know, and well, generally just that was the, you know, that was the music that was coming out. So it wasn't something like, hey, let's go to the studio and do this, right? It wasn't a master plan from that perspective. Usually it is what's coming and it just felt that way, right? And, you know, like, it's kind of easy because, you know, it's people might not know this, but, you know, the first record, I started writing that first record in 2003, 2004, somewhere in there. And by the time I find, you know, finally kidnapped Ivan, right? that's another story, but yeah, we did kidnap him. But by the time I kidnapped Ivan around 2006, right? Like, I wrote that whole first record. So every riff on that record, an exception of one song, I've wrote that record. And on the very end, when we got a second guitarist into the band, Daryl, I co-wrote a song with him. And so that was the only song that I didn't write the riff. So to me, this is home. This is how I sat, right? And then, and throughout the years as the band evolved and whatever it became, again, first record, I wrote all the riffs. On the second record, probably 80% of it. So if we say we're going back there, that's home to me. That's just how I sound. That's how I like to sound. That's how I like to play. That's the balance that I like, you know? And so it wasn't some kind of a stretch that let's figure it out and let's, you know, it's just... That's naturally comes out. And now, you know, I have Andy James in the band and he's a shredder, you know. So it's really fun to, you know, to do us work. Even our birthday the same day. It's kind of crazy, right? So we work really well together, you know, so we can, you know, jam things out and he's capable of anything, you know. So it's kind of, you know, it's incredible that there's no technical barrier of any kind. Like we can play whatever the hell we want, right? So it's really, it's more about a choice, not how our capabilities are ending. It's like whatever we want to do, we can do. That's a good place to be, right?
Yeah, man, so that's amazing. Kind of, you know,
so when we saying like this is heavier, I would say yes, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a list of like, oh, let's do that. It just kind of came out that way.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, man. And I think we just found the headline that you kidnapped Ivan Moody. And so, you know, we can run with that.
Definitely. I mean, look, we flew him to LA 2006, somewhere in there. He lived in Denver at the time. And literally, I flew him into town and came to the audition. He had a couple of songs that he wrote the lyrics for already. Like, at this time, I already had the band, so I recruited all the band members. And I was certain that he was the voice because I saw him before. I saw him perform with his old band and I was 100% like, this is the guy that has the right attitude, can sing, can scream, you know, amazing performer, have the crowd, you know, like there's so many elements for someone to be a great performer. So I definitely was focused on him. Like this is the guy. And, you know, my other guys were in the band at the time were like, well, let's try this guy. I'm like, well, we can, which we tried a couple of, but I'm like, but no, we need Ivan. That's the vision I have. That's the perfect, you know, voice for this. Also, he has this low baritone resonance, right?
Yeah.
We are tuned to B, right? It's a baritone tuned band. We are tuned down to B. So that matters too, how those two mash together. So I was certain that he's the guy. And came to LA, we canceled his plane to get out. Right? So I literally told him, like, hey, man, he signed us. So first day, we were just looking at each other, holy shit, he's the guy. You know, like, now everybody understood what I was talking about. And then I was like, hey, you sound great. Let's go to the studio and grab this song just so we can hear how it sounds recorded. So we went to the studio, recorded the vocals, then... Oh, that's great. Now let's record like a lighter song, like The Bleeding. We recorded that. Okay, like let's get a heavy song. We get a heavy song. Now we were three songs in, right? They go, okay, like you know what? I have this mid-tempo thing. Let's do that. And eventually he goes, bro, we're like seven songs in now. I'm like, what? Three more and we have a record. So why don't you? It's like, dude, I have like one suitcase. I gotta go home at one point. He was in LA a month now. So that's literally amazing. That's all. Yeah.
I love that. Happened. So, you know, the new tour kicks off mid-July, working on new music. Safe to say we'll hear some more new music in time for the tour?
Yes. So awesome. Generally, you know, putting together a set list is pretty complicated for us because there are so many hit songs. Everybody want to hear a specific thing. So we have now 30 of them, 30 top 10s. We can't put 30 top 10s in a set. They're just not, you know what I mean? Like eventually we have to do what Metallica is doing, like 2 days or, you know, that's the only way. And, but also because how radio works, which is also kind of, sort of gives an idea about the band, what it is. Like, look, radio has a limit, like what they're going to play and what they're not going to play. There's a heavy limit, so to speak, right? Like, if it's heavier than this, they're not going to play it, right? And so we have 30 of those songs that became very successful on the radio. But then a casual listener, that's all they hear. So they have this idea of like, well, this is a commercially sounding rock band because they don't hear the other 180 songs that right. are never going to make it on radio. So I mean, so there is a different kind of skewed idea of what this is, but that's just the nature of the beast, right? So when we put together a set list, there is two different crowds. One that knows the band intimately and they want to hear the Barn Burners. Like, yeah, play the Way of the Fist, you know, Dying Breed and White Knuckles and Burn It Down. That's what they want, right? And the people who know us from the radio, like, hey, where are the hits? I want to hear, you know, the hit songs.
Yeah.
And we have 90 minutes stop. So, you know, like, so we kind of have to put this together. And it's always a challenge where you want to have a rock show. What song is first is, you know, you're not going to open with a ballad. So even the what song is where on the set, it matters. Like, how do you drive the energy? You can't bring down the energy until like the fourth, maybe fifth song. So you have to have four or five heavy one in the front, right? So there's a way to do this, to get a good rock show. And when we have new songs, then it's like, okay, what are we dropping?
Right, yeah. You gotta make
see
space.
What I mean? Like, what are we dropping? Like, what are we gonna take out? Are we gonna have to drop something, right? To put in a new song. So it's always a challenge. And the new songs are, for example, Eye of the Hurricane. By the time we go on a tour, it will be pretty well known, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we can put that in. But any other songs, we can't yet, because people don't know the song yet, right? Yeah. So that kind of breaks the energy a little bit because everybody's going crazy. You know, it's a pretty tribal experience, especially Death Punch fans are, you know, pretty much like that. And then it comes a song that they never heard and like, okay. So the energy kind of drops, you know what I mean? And then you back into the, you know, like your favorite song. So we have to be conscious of that. But
yeah,
but definitely as the record coming out and more songs are coming out, we'll start inserting things.
Sweet. I love hearing that, man. I love hearing too, just the, you know, the intentionality behind the set list. And anybody who's seen Five Finger, like, yeah, that's obvious. You know, it's
well,
such
it's a thing. But it's also a thing, like, you know, we get that sometimes people are like, wow, you guys always, why don't you play this? Why don't you play that? I'm like, trust me, if I do that, then I'm going to, then the other crowd goes, wow, right. What happened? It, you know, it is what it is. It's I have to fit in. And when it's a festival, sometimes we have only 60 minutes.
Sure.
Even if it's a headline set, right? And you kind of don't want to blaze through the set. You want to talk to the audience. You want to have some interaction. You know, this is our family. It's like, hey, guys, good to see you again. Right? Now you're losing minutes from the set. And, then, you know, there's a fire marshal. There's a promoter looking at you like, every minute, $5,000 if you go over. You know, it's like there's a penalty if you go over. So, yeah, it's funny. People don't notice, but, you know, because it's the other side of the fans. But that's how this works. Sometimes man, I've even run up the bill so many times because they tell us, like, look, there's a curfew. You go over every minute $5,000. Man. And Ivan is like, I think we're going to blow the bank today, you know, to pull this up. I'm playing one more song that's 5 minutes. Oh, fuck. That's going to be expensive. This is the most expensive live song we did so far, $25,000. So, you know, and sometimes he just, I don't care. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, you know, even beyond the set list, though, I mean, you guys are so intentional with the production and the show, right? Like you give an experience with the music, obviously, but, and we've talked about this in the past, you give such an experience with the show. And I know you don't want to give away too much, but I got to say, we just started a contest. We're going to send a lucky listener and a guest to Kansas City to a brand new amphitheater to see Five Finger. It's going to be a blast. I think we might even get someone from the band to have some barbecue with us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm curious, and I know you don't want to give away any details, but I mean, how deep are you into the production and pushing it on this tour?
So our production designer, light designer, is Brian Hartley. Brian Hartley is one of the best on the planet. He, you know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, he builds all that. He's the guy, right? So, and he loves Five Finger Death Punch. We are friends for a long time, you know. And eventually we could afford him, right? So eventually we could afford him and he became our guy, right? And so he's the designer together, basically, him and I usually do the design. And, you know, he has access to all the newest stuff that you've never seen before, right? And again, he's a designer, so we can sit down with things. And you know, so many things go into this. Probably the fans might not necessarily aware of these things, but, and maybe they shouldn't be, but there's a dark side of this. A dark side is like, the more production I put on stage, right, then generally bands will pass that bill to the fans. So your ticket price will start going up because you don't want to go out on the road for a year and then lose money on the, you know, that's not really a good idea, right?
Yeah. you can't do that for 20 that. Years, man.
Yeah, eventually that will crash. That's not going to survive, right? And if you, more and more production, because yeah, you can put anything on stage. Every band could do that, but that's going to run your tour into the ground unless you pass that bill to the fans. I mean, it's already expensive. Sometimes I look at ticket prices, like how?
Yeah.
Like the scalpers and those, you know, those websites that tag extra stuff on that, it's insane. And so we don't want to push that, you know. So there's a limit to what we can do. What I want to do and what we can do is a big difference, right? What we always pushing it. This time, I'm going to give away some. So this is what I'm going to give away. I started to look at 80s rock shows because there was a vibe about them, you know? Because everybody's using the same things. So I started to look at those 80s rock shows, and there are certain elements of those that I haven't seen for a while. And, you know, it's a little bit of nostalgia. I kind of grew up in that, you know, those were the bands that I grew up on. And there was something about those shows. Like, for example, there's a light system called the Moles. The Moles are, you probably remember these, they were these circle of lights. Kiss used a lot of those back in the days. When they come on, like, they don't come on instantly. There's a little delay. There's a delay.
Almost.
And it's such a weird thing, especially today when everything on and off. Like how it comes on and then you turn them down, it takes a minute to, you know, it's a little time to fade, right? And it has such a vibe. I haven't seen that for a long time. So I'm like, Brian, do you think, are those things still around? And he goes, I'm pretty sure somebody has them in a warehouse somewhere. Well, let's find some. You know, like, so we going through kind of things like that. Like, what can we do that is different but has a vibe? So we designing it right now. What it's going to be is definitely... You know, it's going to be a rock show. So when he designed the light rig, I always look at it. I'm like, this is great. Now, double it. This, like, dude, you aren't even fucking mind.
I'm sure he's like, yes, let's do it.
Yeah. So no, he loves it, but it's already a joke because every time he brings it, like, well, this is it. I know what you're going to say. Double it.
That's great, man. Well, I can't wait for the tour. I'm curious, you know, this being... not just a tour. I mean, the 20th anniversary of the band. Like, does it feel different for you as you get ready for it?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, look, we've been on the road basically for 20 years. So, the only difference is, I guess, that it is the difference. I would say is more emotional.
Yeah,
right?
Like, does that weigh not weigh on you, but you kind of feel that.
What a surprise. But like I said, oh my God, we survived this. I mean, eye of the storm. Thinking, what do you think that song is about? That's our lives. That's where we live. You know, that's my... Yeah. This band was always the eye of the storm. And it's more like you're looking... You know, not many bands make it that long. And not many bands get to do 10 records. Think about it. You spend half of your life with, you know... Like, Ivan and I spent half of our lives together.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know? And ever ups and ever downs. I mean, we went through the whole gamut of that. So looking back, it's more like, holy shit, we are here. We did it. We are making our 10th album, right? Every time, every album we put out, people were like, this is it for them. They're not going to survive. They're, you know, that was the story to begin with. The very first time, imagine this, first record. We had major publications. True story. Major publication said, we're not going to do an interview with them. We're not going to do an article because they're not going to be around by the time this magazine comes out. Usually it's like 2 months. Like, this is coming from a major magazine saying, like, no, right? So we always had a little bit of that, the non-believers. That's a one-hit wonder. Maybe a two-hit wonder. It's a five-hit wonder. It's a 15-hit wonder. I mean, like, where does it...
Yeah,
it's like a stuff, you know. So anyway, I mean, I know I make fun of it because we make fun of everything. Like everything anybody loves at us, like any dumb band name, right? Five Finger Fruit Punch, whatever you want to come up with, bro. we already made fun of ourselves. You're not telling us anything new. Like, we already did it ourselves. Like, there's nothing you can possibly insult us with. So, you know. But yeah, I guess it's more of a, for us personally.
Yeah.
Looking back, like, holy shit, we did it. We did 20 years. That's insane.
Well,
but other than that, it's business as usual, in quotes.
Right.
Right. Gotta do the tour, gotta build it. It's a very precise, you know, it's a massive crew. It's a massive, you know, moving a city to another city every day. You know,
it's crazy, man. Well, right. You talk about, you know, yeah, the personal kind of emotions you guys feel. But, you and I even half your lives together. I mean, that's true for the fans, too. You know, like, fans who have been with you since the beginning, like 20 years later, going to see you again. And so, like, that emotion is kind of felt on their end. But then, you know, kind of even a different level, because a lot of those fans bring their kids to the show, you know, and that's going to be their first concert or their first time seeing Death Punch. And so, like, that emotional kind of heaviness is shared between the band and the fans.
100%. And sometimes there are really funny moments when somebody comes up to us and they're like, hey man, I was on stage with you guys when I was, you know, generally we have kids coming up on stage. We used to do that for especially the heavy songs when we knew that mosh pit gonna be crazy. We were like, man, how are we gonna solve this problem that kids are in a pit? Is we always had this. We always had the generation. We had kids, their parents, and their parents. So we always had this three generational, you know, the dad from Vietnam to the, you know, the whole, you know, the grandson. I mean, the whole thing. And so it's always been like that. And so we used to take the kids out of the mosh pit in specific songs that we knew that this is going to be, you know, this is going to be crazy, and put them on stage. That was the way to save them. And so kids would come up to the air and say like, hey, man, I was on stage with you guys when I was a kid. I'm like, bro, you're like 30 years old. Like, what? And have two kids. And that's when I realized, like, oh, my God. It's like, yeah, I was 12. Like, that was 18 years. Oh, my God. You know? It's like, holy shit. You know? So those are the moments when, like, my God, these, and you're right. These fans were there. Some of them literally first shows. And they still come and they bring their kids and it's literally like that. And then, you know, we have an old lady. We call it heavy metal grandma. She's 80 something. And every when we in Norway or Sweden, she comes to the shows. We get her on. She's on the first row. She's refused to be anywhere else first row. But we always get her out of the crowd, right? Put her on stage and she's singing a song with us.
Oh,
she's
man.
80 something.
That's the best, man. That's the best.
I mean, it's like, holy. And you, so we have, you know, that's. That is when it worked. It everything that all the things we done, you know, all the uphill battles, all everything that we done is that right there justifies your existence, right? And then there are the stories that hit you hard, right? Like there's a kid, and he goes, "Hey man, when I was a kid," and he is, it's 15 years later, right? So he's an adult now. So the grown adult says, like, hey, remember me? I was a kid and I wrote my suicide note with a pen and I gave you guys this pen, right? Because that day somebody sent me your music video and it was about actually suicide prevention and, you know, and somebody sent me this video. Somebody knew that I was really down in life. And so they sent me this song that came out and I watched this video and actually changed my mind. So I didn't go through with it. I'm like, well, thank God. And I brought you guys a pen that I wrote the note with. I remember because it was a red pen. And Ivan goes, hold on. Runs out of the meet and greet and comes back. He still had the pen. It's in his road case for 15 years. And sure, the kid started crying, you know, because
I'm going to start crying. that's incredible, man.
And it was, here's the pen. Like, I still have it, you know. Those are the moments, you know, when you're like, okay. You can hate us all day long. I don't give a shit, dude. This alone worth it, right? And we have so many of these. This is just one of the many, right? That you know, those are the moments that, like, oh, shit, you know, that hits you hard.
Well, and those are the moments, too, that, you know, you think about when you started by yourself writing these songs, you know, dreams floating through your head. What can this band be? What can this music be? Like, those are the moments, too, that you can never... You could never predict or never plan for, you know, like, all right, we're going to get this big. We're going to play this stadium. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But you don't think about and we're going to save a kid's life, or this many, you know, this many people will be affected. Like, those are the moments you just, there's no way that you could plan for.
Right. Well, you definitely start that. You're a musician, right? So you, as a musician, you just love making music. You're an artist. You like building it. Yeah. For me, it's a little bit more than that, because it's not just the music. It's also, to me, it's a whole ecosystem of the art, the merch, the everything, the videos, everything that comes with it, all the creative. It's one picture, and it all has to be in sync. You know, it's a world that we are building, right? I mean, you're building that. To me, that's my calling. That's fun for me. That's what excites me, like putting together all the details. And you're not thinking about, at that point, you don't think about politics. You're not thinking about the social effects of how it's going to actually affect, you know, people culturally on a larger scale. You're not thinking, you're just thinking about, I'm a musician, I'm building this world, right? And then you thinking about, I'm going to share this music and some people will like it and some people won't care, right? And the first shock is probably every band that kind of got anywhere near success. The first shock is that you're going to have people be pissed at you, like just hate your band, like, oh, they should all die. And it's like, that's the first shock. Like, what? Like, I'm just playing my guitar, man. And yeah. I escaped fucking communism to be here and lived in a ghetto on $10 a day for, you know what I mean? I'm like, you have no idea what it took for me to be here and what now, right? So you're not really realizing that the weight of this. When you create something and as it starts getting bigger and bigger, it's not just music anymore. It has a real culture effect. And for some people, it's extremely negative. And I will never understand why. Because if I don't like something, I just move on. I don't care. I don't like that. If I don't like carrot cakes, I'm not starting to write reviews online. Like, oh, fuck all carrot cakes and every restaurant that serves it. It's like, what? But to me, that's absolutely insanity, right? But it happens. And so you're not really realizing what the effect is going to be. So that you can never foretell. Because you're not thinking that. But when that happens, you know, for the first time, it probably rattles every band, every musician, because they don't understand, like, what? Why? And then it's almost like you need a psychological justification for your existence, because the people who love you, they don't really go online and hype all day. So it becomes this lopsided thing, like, what? Like, everybody wants us to die? Why? You know what I mean? And so then you need the psychological justification, like, oh, well, all these people, you know, love your band, but then it is more to this, right? When you start to hear these stories. And so, you know, for us, it happened very early. So by, you know, the first record was probably the only one where we were like, what? And after that, like, who gives a shit, you know?
Good, yeah.
Who cares? You know what I mean? But when I see that, you're absolutely right, that you're not thinking about these things. You're not thinking about these effects because you're just a musician, you know, you're not, you know? But it also comes later with the responsibility that once you realize it, you have to really watch what you say. Because there are tens of thousands of people, especially kids, listening to every word you say, right? Yeah. So you also have to develop this responsibility that none of us wanted to grow up and be adults. You know, I don't think I did actually. But you know what I mean? But in some way, you start to have to, like, man, you know, everything I say, people watch, people hear. I can't just blubber at dumb shit because everybody's going to hear that. It's going to be a headline somewhere. People are going to clickbait it. And you know, I mean, it happened to me a million times, right? Like, I do an interview for 2 hours and I'm like, that's the line you picked out. But that was a clickbait line. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, and it's always some dumb shit. But you have to kind of calculate that and it's part of the story now. You have to think of that. But you have an effect, a massive effect on people.
Yeah. Well, and here we are, man, 2 decades later, celebrating new music, celebrating this tour. Zoltan, thank you so much for hanging. As always, it's great to catch up and especially getting ready for this tour, man, and this new album, all of it. Listeners, get tickets, get everything you need at fivefingerdeathpunch.com and get entered to win your shot at a trip to see Five Finger in Kansas City with me at loudwire.com. Zoltan, you know this. Let's do this again anytime you want. It's always great hanging, man.
See you in Kansas.
Yes. That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.